On the morning of Christ's resurrection, women were early at the tomb. And they found, as we read in verse 2, that there had been a great earthquake. And the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone back, and was sitting upon that great stone. And that is an important sign. It shows that God had accepted the satisfaction that Jesus had paid to him for the sins of his people. He had paid for sin to the utmost farthing. And as we read in Romans 4, verse 25, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The work was done. God was pleased. And the tomb is open because the Lord goes free. Just like when a prisoner has served his sentence and the prison doors are opened for him and he may leave, so our Lord, who has served our sentence and paid the price of sin, goes free. And as Matthew Henry put it, he has a fair and legal discharge obtained from heaven. We may never need to fear that something is missing from the work of Christ. Heaven has assented to it and given its amen in the open tomb and the rising again of our substitute sin bearer and Saviour. You'll note the reassuring words of the angel in verse 5, who says to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." The angel and his appearance had terrified the Roman guards. They had fainted and were unconscious for fear of him, we read verse 4. But in verse 5, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus." You see, this visitor from heaven finds people on different sides. Those who are strangers to Christ, rightly terrified at this divine celestial visitation. They're overcome by it. Those who belong to Christ have the reassuring words, "Fear not." And dear friends, it's like a rehearsal of the day of judgment, isn't it? Because those out of Christ will find God a terrible God of justice and judgment, and there will be terror, and there will be an inability to resist. There will be an overwhelming terror as God comes to deal with unsaved sinners. Well might they fear. We read in the book of Revelation, so terrified are they at the sight of the judge that they say, "Mountains, fall on us, rocks, cover us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne." But for the Lord's people, "Fear not ye, because in Christ there is no condemnation. In Christ there is full salvation, and they are on the right side, finding in Christ a God gracious and a God who welcomes them into heaven." Well, what great things were happening. And then you find in verse 7, the angel's words to the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples." And there is important meaning in these words. Go quickly to tell the disciples the news that Christ is risen. The disciples still think he is dead and their hopes are lost. But the Lord does not want his followers left sorrowful and wretched any longer. See how quick the Lord is to comfort us, dear friends. He has comfort to give. Go quickly and take it for the strengthening of the hearts of my people. and then tell his disciples. And if you add what we read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 7, there's that precious addition there, tell his disciples and Peter, particularly him. Because you see, he was the disciple who had denied the Lord and had fallen and was miserable. But tell his disciples and Peter. He's still a disciple. And the risen Lord has forgiven him and forgotten Peter's sin, but has not forgotten his need of reassurance. And that's the precious grace of Christ, thinking of that one disciple in need. And if you consider yourself one individual in need, you can depend upon it that the mind and heart of Christ are upon you as well. And then this promise at the end of verse 7. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. In other words, the word to the disciples to meet the Lord in Galilee. And that's where they will find him. And this becomes our text this morning, dear friends, verse 7. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. It applied to the first disciples, and it applies to all disciples in principle. And in order to see this, let us see two points here. First of all, where they must go and where we must go into Galilee. First of all, where they must go. He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Now, this was something previously arranged by the Lord. Back in chapter 26 and verse 32, our Lord had said, announcing beforehand his crucifixion, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And this rendezvous with our Lord there, he will appear individually to disciples in and around Jerusalem, but this will be a little assembly of the church in that region of Galilee. And of course, as we read, it happened. Verse 16 of Matthew 28, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, this instruction to go to this place to meet him, it might have raised their fears. Into Galilee, gathering to him in the open, in public. You remember how fearful the disciples were after the crucifixion of our Lord, meeting in secret for fear of the Jews and so on. Here now he instructs them to meet him in the open air, that they might even be seen by people. And it was a risk in their view. They may have been fearful of the prospect of being seen with him in the open like this. However, remember this. It was not in Jerusalem, but into Galilee, 100 miles or so north of that city. Now, certainly there were enemies in Jerusalem. In this chapter and verse 11, we read that some of the guards came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. there was potential danger in Jerusalem, Galilee was much safer. And you see, the Lord had thought about that. And that's a significant point. Not Jerusalem to raise genuine fears, create perhaps real danger. Galilee away from the place. Different. And the Lord had thought about this point on their behalf. And Psalm 31 and verse 7 says this, and the psalmist, his words, "Thou hast considered my trouble." And it reminds us that the Lord is considerate for us concerning our fears, concerning our apprehensions, and we might have those, but the Lord had spared the disciples worse, Jerusalem, and chose Galilee for them. And so he is with us, dear friends. We might have fear. We would perhaps have had more grounds for fear, except the Lord had come in and spared us and given us what really has happened. And a further assurance for them was this, that their assembling in this way was the Lord's very purpose. In that verse 16 of chapter 27, there is this thought, or rather verse 28 of verse 16, went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. If something is appointed, it's safe, because he knows what he is doing. And this was part of a bigger thing. In verse 18 of Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," and so on. The purpose is that he's going to commission these apostles. The gospel is going to go into all the world. Churches are going to be founded. Part of his great plan, the advance of his kingdom, going to Galilee, where the Lord has appointed all this, is going to be safe. That's the assurance. All must be safe and well. While they are in the Lord's way, doing his bidding, nothing to fear. And dear friends, it's the same for us as well. If yours and my great concern is to always be in the center of his will concerning things, it's part of his great purpose, fits into it, we know not how, but we're safe there because we're with the Lord there and he is having his gracious way. Where Jesus appoints, we are blessed. And you see, he gives them his promised presence for this rendezvous in Galilee. "Behold," says the angel, "he goeth before you into Galilee." It's in the present tense. In other words, he's on his way there now. He's going ahead, and you'll find him there when you arrive. And so they found it, because we read verse 17, "when they saw him." Ah, dear friends, his promises are faithful. And if he gives us the promise of his presence, we will be sure, can be sure, that that will be kept. A little boy was once asked, "What do you think a promise is?" And he thought for a moment and he said, "A promise is something that can't be broken." And if that's true, humanly speaking, you can depend upon it that it is true of our Lord. And even the angel, you see, at the end of verse 7, "Lo, I have told you." And the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Messengers from heaven that cannot lie. Well, how much more the Son of God and his sure word. and so it will never be broken. Where they must go, and they will find that all is well, all is as the Lord says, and they are safe. Well, let's come secondly then in application, where we must go. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Now we have our Galilee, something perhaps ahead of us, maybe this week, maybe this year. We are apprehensive about it. Maybe it's a person to see, maybe a new situation to face. The unknown way forward, ye have not passed this way heretofore. A fresh and challenging start somewhere. An ongoing trial with no light at the end of the tunnel, so it seems. Or even finally, when we must die. And there are those things up ahead of us that we're spared to see at present, and the Lord draws the veil over them, but they nonetheless may well come. We have an inkling about some of them perhaps we do know, and it makes us nervous into Galilee. But my dear friends, it's not into Jerusalem. It's safer than what it might have been. It's less than it could be. The Lord knows what he's doing, and you can be sure that he is sparing you from what would be worse. It's the right and the best place. Even though it might be out of our comfort zone, better to be out of our comfort zone with the Lord than to stay in it without him. Sometimes we are called upon in this way. The nest is stirred up, and these familiar, happy things perhaps are threatened and in jeopardy, and we have to venture forth. But if we know the Lord is leading, going before us, promises to meet us there, what have we to fear? The marvelous promise. He says, Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. You see, he goeth before. He goes first and leads the way. It's a very comforting verse in John 10 and verse 4, where the good shepherd says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Doesn't come behind to push them on, but putting them forth, and we go forth, he goeth before them. And they know my voice, and I know them. What a great comfort. As one has said, when I go, he comes. And you can trust him for that. You see, it's all summed up really in verse 20, the last verse of Matthew 28. Lo, I am with you all way. His presence on the way, and when we get there too. And remember, dear friends, who he is. Lo, he, behold, he goeth before you. The one concerning whom it is said in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. And that means that none resides with anyone else. It's the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus, who is Lord of all, the scripture says. And to have him as your Lord and Savior, to have him as your leader and your guide and your comforter, Nothing can touch us. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can be really against us if he is for us. Not only does this wonderfully apply to the founding of his church, the ordering of things in his church and his kingdom, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, but the safety and comfort of his people. Our Galilees are part of his overall plan. We may not see it, but it is so. And nowhere else will serve his purpose. We will find him there for us. Now you think of some examples of this. We read earlier Genesis 33. And you remember last week, last Lord's Day morning, in chapter 32, Jacob was terrified at meeting Esau again. But he'd come back from Paddan Aram, returned to Canaan, and this was something he had to face. If ever a man had his Galilee, it was Jacob who had to see Esau again, whom he'd offended 20 years before and who'd vowed to murder him. And he prayed, didn't he, "Lord, deliver me from my brother Esau, for I fear him." And chapter 33 that we just read earlier, he meets Esau again with his 400 men. Jacob is there in his Galilee. No alternative but to face this. And what happens? The Lord had gone before. Turned Esau's heart, melted it. And Esau runs toward Jacob. No vengeance now, but the love of a long-lost brother, falling upon his neck, kissing him, weeping him, reconciliation. And the Lord had kept his word to Jacob, "Remember, I will be with thee. I will bring thee back again. I will not leave thee till I have done all these things." And Genesis 33, verse 10, Jacob's words, "I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me." In other words, he's saying that God is smiling upon me in the smile of Esau. The Lord had done it all. "And so it is, he goeth before you. There will ye see him." And didn't Jacob see what the Lord had done for him? Think of Moses going to Pharaoh. There was his Galilee. No alternative. He couldn't get out of it. When he said, "Lord, send someone else. I'm of slow speech. I can't talk very well," and all the rest of it. No excuses. Go. What was the Lord's word? Exodus 3, verse 12. "Certainly, I will be with thee." And as he goes into his Galilee, into the very presence of Pharaoh, he found eventually that far from Moses cringing before Pharaoh, Pharaoh ends up cringing before Moses. And you say, "Certainly, I will be with thee." Venture on that word. There you will see him. Think of Joshua having to take over from Moses, lead the people into the promised land, fight the battles of Canaan, subdue the Canaanites and possess the cities and the places. What a daunting prospect for a young man. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." You can venture on that. God's promise is something he can't break, because God cannot lie. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6, waiting for news from the church at Corinth, the the result of his letter to the church, rebuking them, correcting them, encouraging, edifying them, but fearing the worst perhaps as to their reaction. And we read 2 Corinthians 7:6, "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, who told us all about the way you received the letter and your compliance and your love for us and all the rest of it. When you go with the Lord, every Galilee is taken care of and becomes a blessing in the end." Timothy having to succeed Paul, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, because the Lord is there, strengthening, upholding, and comforting." It's good to be out of our comfort zone with the Lord. That's how we grow as Christians. We never make progress, we never mature, we never advance, we never learn things, we are never sanctified where we stay safely, where we humanly would like to be. But when the Lord calls us out, leads us forth, promises to be with us, that's the thing. And you see, we meet him there. "There shall ye see him." He will be there waiting for us. How often we found it so, haven't we? The Lord has made the way. The Lord has gone before. He's prepared the situation. And we find him. With the Lord, it's not so much what he can do for us, it's what he can be to us. And that's an important point. You see, we want the Lord to do things. "Lord, do this, do this, do this." Not so much what he will do, it's what he will be, what he can be. Knowing him there, experiencing him, finding his great faithfulness, sufficiency, that he was all that we ever needed him to be. And perhaps the Lord would correct us in this. Not what we can get for him, from him. "Give me this, give me that, I need the other." But rather, "Behold, here I am." And to find him and to know him. That's the real thing. That's real religion, you see. And that's how it was here. "There shall ye see him." And isn't it true, dear friends, that our fears have been so often groundless? What we most dreaded, we found the Lord had dealt with it. What we imagined would be one thing, the Lord has made it quite the other. And the Lord has dealt with the thing. And it hasn't been a Jerusalem, it's been a Galilee. Fear is often our greatest problem, more than what we are anticipating. There was an ancient legend. A man was riding along one day to Constantinople, and he was stopped by an old woman who asked him for a ride. He took her up beside him, and as they drove along, he looked at her and became frightened and asked, "Who are you?" The old woman replied, "I am cholera." Thereupon the peasant ordered the old woman to get down and walk, but she persuaded him to take her along upon her promise that she would not kill more than 5 people in Constantinople. As a pledge of the promise, she handed him a dagger, saying to him that it was the only weapon with which she could be killed. Then she added, I shall meet you in 2 days. If I break my promise, you may stab me. In Constantinople, 120 people died of the cholera. The enraged man who had driven her to the city and to whom she had given the dagger as a pledge that she would not kill more than 5, went out to look for the old woman. Meeting her, he raised his dagger to kill her. But she stopped him, saying, "I have kept my agreement. I killed only 5. Fear killed the others." Do not let fear kill your comfort and your assurance. The Lord can kill your fears. Look to him to be with you. Angels as well. He will be glorified and you will be blessed. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Amen.